Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
On this beautiful Friday.
Yeah. And it's July the 1st. Liam, let June get away from us.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 7:05 in the morning here on July 1st. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Like I said, Liam's at the helm. Last night on Man Up.
With Liam here.
Liam was here. He had to put up with Perry and Ted and I. We played Liam's music. It's all of our bump music.
Isn't he wonderful?
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
No, it is. I mean, it's...
You want your ego stroked, boy? Just come here.
I'll tell you what. It was great. So, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah.
And what national day is it today?
It is National Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day.
Wait, say it again.
Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day.
So you can take vanilla and then you add things to it.
Whatever.
That's the bottom line. Yeah. Okay. Hey, hon. Linda Bott.
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful...
Bye, Sue.
Beautiful time to be out and about in Redding this weekend. You cannot believe it's just going to be 95 today. Other places would be like, what? No, we'll take that anytime. Overnight lows of 64. Now, tomorrow calls for sunny with a high of 89. And according to the National Weather Service, there may be a slight chance of showers tomorrow night with an overnight lows of 61. That's just about 20% chance. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Sunday night, again, maybe chance of showers with about 30% chance of showers, overnight lows of 60. And on Independence Day, sunny with a high of 86. Now, can you, this is a perfect weather to go outside and watch the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to say where you can see the fireworks all over this area and all the way up to Mount Shasta.
I mean, 64 degrees, you may even think about bringing a sweater as you're sitting there with your quilt, maybe at the 45. The cold 45 game, yeah. Or wherever you're going to be. And Tuesday, sunny with a high of 84. Just a fabulous Independence Day weekend. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where they're located in Anderson, with senior and veteran discounts always serving the North State. 365-3793.
A veteran-owned business, and that's
and
important.
Speaking of, not to walk all over you, Carl.
What's that? I'm not supposed to know. What am I supposed to
do? Nothing. Just go. Okay. Thinking of supporting the North State, we are so happy to have our Pet of the Week moment with Katrina. And good morning, Katrina.
Good morning.
And you have what we would call a Senior Pet of the Week with us now.
Yes, I do. I'm very happy to introduce you to Dune. He's 9 years old, so definitely a senior, but he's very playful, so not necessarily what you think of personality-wise when you think of a senior dog. But we have him as like a pit, cattle dog, whatever
you
else
makes. I looked at him, and I was looking at him, and I was thinking cattle dog when I first
looked at him.
He kind of looks like a cattle dog with something else in him. But
yeah, he's very interesting. He's very medium-sized.
He's got the coloring of a cattle dog.
Yeah.
Almost like a Kelpie, maybe an Australian Shepherd-y, but he's got, yeah.
Yeah, he's very cool looking, kind of brindly, and then he's got like a white chest, and he has like really big pointy ears. Like I said, he's pretty medium sized. He is a little chunky though. so I would say he weighs probably a good 50 pounds.
He could probably weigh 40. And
yeah.
Still be real happy.
Definitely. But Dune is really special. He actually was just a camp dog, so Camp Love a Pet wrapped up this past weekend.
Mm, tell us about that experience.
Yeah. He did amazing. The kids he worked with honestly just fell head over heels for him because he's just such a happy, joyful dog. He's always smiling. He's always down to do whatever. And he did great. He learned a whole bunch of commands. And a special thing, I think I mentioned this before, that all Camp Love a Pet dogs, adoption fee is reduced to $25, and that's actually still true even though camp is over. Mm-hmm. So Dune's fee is only $25, and he knows so many things, and he's honestly just the sweetest guy.
Well, now, there's something else about him, too. is all those tricks he learned. And guys, just I want you to know, is one of the tricks he learned was to go into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, grab a can of beer, and bring it back to you. Now, you think about this over the 4th of July weekend. You know, you don't have to get up and go out there and get beer, and, you know, you don't want to send the kids after it. So you send the dog, and he'll bring it back. Maybe he'll bring two back, and you two can sit there together, and each of you have a beer.
You know, I feel like he would be smart enough to do that.
Yeah, that's so great. That's so great. Okay, so encourage people why they should maybe consider adopting or bringing in a senior pet into their home.
Yeah, I think senior pets honestly have a lot to offer. I know it intimidates some people just because, you know, they don't know what kind of life they've had or what they've learned, but you honestly can teach an old dog new tricks. We see it time and time again that even senior dogs just respond well with lots of consistency and routine.
I know. I married Carl. Hoping. Go ahead. Sorry, Katrina. I couldn't resist.
I love it. And, you know, they need love, too. And our senior dogs,
yeah, they
do.
Need love, too.
They do sit in our shelter a lot longer than our younger dogs, but they just have a lot of love to give, and they're often just really good to bring in if you're looking for kind of a more low-key pet as well.
Good with belly rubs.
Definitely.
Okay, so and what's this baby's name again?
Dune.
Mm. Okay, like Dune. Okay, well, Dune, I think, would fit into most homes. And it's good on a leash, of course, house trained, and looks like he'd be good for kids. And, you know, if you're getting a little bit older, maybe you want a more sedate walk like that. Plus the fact that he'll go get a can of beer for you. Now, I can't guarantee that, but it seems like that would be something that Mark would teach him.
You never know.
Okay, now, and so the adoption fee is?
$25 because he was in camp.
Okay, and what about the senior dog deal?
So all senior dogs are typically $37.50 thanks to our PALS fund because they do sponsor half their adoption fee. So then Dunes is reduced even further because he was in Camp Love a Pet.
That's right. Now, he's been through Camp Love a Pet where they're, trained even more than they usually would be. They've chipped. They've been spayed or neutered. They've been, had all their shots. They're a healthy dog.
Exactly.
Okay. That's a good deal.
Definitely. And a friend for life.
Okay, Dune. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you so much. Hey, what are your plans for the weekend for 4th of July? And let's talk about the safety for pets.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go to a 4th of July party. And then safety for pets, fireworks, real big deal if you have dogs. Please keep your dogs inside. Most important thing, just because they do stress them out. If you have your dog in your yard, very easy for them to escape when they're going off. I've also heard tips of if you have your dog inside, turning up your TV louder than usual or the radio just so there's more noise to kind of like.
It may be a time to crate them if they're a crate type animal. They will hit the fight or flee. And because there's nothing to fight, they will take fences that have been keeping them in with no problem. And they'll go over those fences every year. Haven Humane picks up animals.
Yeah, we always see a huge influx after 4th of July weekend because so many dogs end up getting loose after the fireworks. So definitely be safe. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I can't wait to, next week, tell us what happened with Dan.
For sure.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Linda's favorite hobby. Sleep number and sleeping.
It's always my hobby, sleeping now.
Your favorite hobby. last night, she goes, hey, look, I'm not ready to go to sleep yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And I looked at her, and I said, in 2 minutes.
Yeah, and it happened. You were right.
Yep. So here, get your snuggle pillow, and that was it. That's the last thing I heard. Sleep number has given us countless hours of great sleep. We can adjust the bed on either side. Linda's sleep number setting is 35. My sleep number setting last night was 50. You can adjust it to what you want it to be. And that is a huge thing. Plus the fact that they've done a number of studies and said that people on a sleep number bed sleep more, like 100 hours a year better sleep.
Well, that sure adds. It sure. All I can say
sleep.
Is that we were out with the horse last night. And I got home and I put my sleep number setting at 35. And I've been staying at 30. Well, I kind of occasionally go to 30, but 35. We have more people that stop and say, listen, we've got a sleep number bed, our sleep number setting, or about the woman who called in from the that stayed in a hotel.
Stayed in a hotel.
I thought, what number they put the sleep number set? Like, maybe they put it at 50. So
maybe
it's
they
just,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they do. Who knows? But what I recommend is you go down to the sleep number store in the Target Shopping Center, and you just try out the beds. And find out how you can adjust them. Find out, you know, where the hot spots are when you sleep at night, because they've got a computer program there that shows you. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. And now, don't miss Sleep Number's 4th of July special with the Queen 360 C2 Smart Bed. Now only $899 plus special financing and free home delivery when you add a base. Now that ends ends Monday, only at our Sleep Number store. Now, this is subject to credit approval. The special financing, subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. We'll be right back.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, Don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear the chopper?
Yeah.
You hear the helicopter going through?
I heard it for the first time.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Institute, one of the top 50 in the United States. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center, your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center. 4th of July, Independence Day. Yeah, we're all going to celebrate that, but
what are we celebrating?
What are we celebrating? Well, you know, Independence Day, of course, was when 13 colonies said that they were no longer subject and subordinate to the monarch of Britain, King George III, and were now united, free, and independent states. Congress voted to approve independence on July 2nd and adopted the Declaration of Independence 2 days later on July 4th. This was a big thing because what we did then is to say that we would no longer be under the boot heel of a despotic king. Mm. And we declared our independence and we fought for it. You know, you can go back and have type of revisionist, you know, history and all this, but it's a national holiday marked by patriotic displays. And they did a survey about people who are patriotic in the United States. And it seemed to be dropping.
Right.
You know, are you proud of your country? It was, I think, the question, and that number's dropped among almost all numbers. However, maybe they should have said, are you proud of living in the United States, or do you love living in the United States? That answer, I think, would have been totally different. I think that would have been a huge resounding, oh, yeah, I'm really happy because I live in the United States.
That's really interesting because you do know that as we progress through life and we grow in life and have different experiences, and you know that was not too long ago, I had sat with very, very dear friends of mine, and one of them had said, I'm embarrassed by looking at the flag or being about the flag, and a lot of my family feels the same way, and I kind of had a repulsive reaction, you know, and here you go. I mean, you've got people interviewing people on the streets. If we look at what is happening in our country, but not just in our country, worldwide, we're in a shift. And there was a time that we all pulled together in the Greatest Generation where everybody pulled together as a country. And I think at this point, when you look at what's happening, we're pulling apart.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, and I can say that hopefully, but I have no great faith in the fact that we're going to get it back together again. I don't know. I hope it doesn't take a huge national emergency for us to put aside our differences.
Like when 9/11 happened,
yeah, and that lasted,
all of a sudden you're seeing people flying flags outside their on their all over LA, believe it or not.
That lasted about 3 months.
Right.
Now, 4th of July around here for fireworks. Okay, if you want to go to fireworks displays, you've got the chance. The city of Reading is going to have theirs, of course, on July 4th at 10 p.m. at the Civic Auditorium. While the fireworks are going on, tune in to Q97 because the music is in time with the fireworks, and we do that every year.
Yeah.
And another place you can see it besides down at the Civic, which opens up at 6 p.m., and it stays open till 9:55, all the vendors and food and all that, is at Tiger Stadium, where the Colt 45s are playing. And after the game, you can just go out there in the outfield or just stay in the stands if you want to. It's a great place to observe the fireworks, and you don't have that many people or the problem getting out. And if you just, you know, it costs, I think it's $5 to get in to the baseball
special
game.
Are those special tickets that when we give away that for any game?
Any game.
That anybody who's holding those tickets
that's
can
right.
use them that night. All right.
Right.
I didn't
that's
know if
right.
it was a special
nope,
ticket.
Nope. It's for that one. So you go to the game and watch the fireworks. Now, if you don't want to go to the game, you still you pay the same price to come in after the game just to watch it. Anderson explodes on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Everybody knows where that's at. The country singer-songwriter Jared Hovis will perform at 7 p.m. They're going to have vendors and, of course, fireworks. The admission is free, as it is at the Reading fireworks. So that's going to be on July 3rd. So I would imagine you want to get there early down there.
And it's nice
Anderson.
Weather out. So I remember when we emceed the down at the Civic Center, I think a couple years in a row that we had to get down there. I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5? And, MC different people who were speaking and different people performing, and there was no cover. And it was so hot.
It was hot. But it's not going to be hot this year.
No.
It's going to be great. Now, Mount Shasta has a 4-day festival. That starts today. Opens at 5 p.m. on Friday and continues after that from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday. The fair includes food and vendor booths, live entertainment, and family-friendly activities. And the annual 4th of July parade starts at noon on Monday. And fireworks begin at dusk over Lake Siskiyou. So,
all right. So I want to talk about something that a lot of people do during Independence Day and from this, over these holidays, and that's the dangers of a dirty grill. How many grill masters are out there? Let's talk about what happened. I came across an article. I want to do a couple things just to remind you that grease and buildup on your food on your grill can attract bacteria like Salmonella, Listeria, or E. coli, which can transfer the food on the grill and cause foodborne illness. Dirt, food particles, and ash and grease can also turn a grill into a fire hazard. So when an overly greasy grill is ignited, the flames can travel and spread, and it's a bit of inflamed food residue may drift off the grill, which can then ignite grass, sticks, or other flammable materials around the grill. Also,
saying that if I don't clean the grill, that when I light it up, I can start a grass fire
could,
at my house?
According to this,
I guess I could.
This is how to deep clean your grill, which I don't think, I think this is just something, a reminder. And it says that the in-depth process needs to be done once a year. I mean, sometimes we just forget, we cover the grill, whatever, take it apart. This means, this talks about an annual grill deep clean. Remove the grill accessories, of course. But this says remove the grates, the burner, the covers, the dip trays, the grease catchers, even the burner knobs. Take them everything off. Then it says to scrape the interior of the grill, which as it gets a cheap putty knife from the hardware store. Use the sharp edge of the putty knife to scrape any cracked on debris from inside your grill, which I know we have. Then you have to degrease the accessories. You're talking about either soap.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a new grill.
Well, try to put it in. That'll be interesting to put
it
inside
that
brick.
I'm
going to
buy a new grill because what you're saying is going to take, it's no longer 4th of July fun.
Well, no, we're not going to be using it this weekend, but I think these are important things for our listeners to remind them about the fact
that
you could get sick from it.
Don't
you
give yourself
burn.
Salmonella poisoning from your grill.
And you need to take it apart and clean it because not only that, but it's, you know, you've got, think about it. Would you like to get into a dirty bed? That's a weird analogy, but if you don't want to get into a dirty bed where stuff has been there, it doesn't matter. You don't want to get into a dirty bed. So you don't want to eat something that's in some kind of food that's been there from last year.
I think everybody's got
that. Do you get it?
I got it.
All right. Finally, heat the grill. The interior should be at 500. Listen to this. The 500 will help to burn off anything inside there that is living. You know,
That's what I do anyway.
With the hood closed.
Well, that's what I do. I run it up so it's 800 degrees in
here.
Yeah,
but you don't take
nothing.
It apart.
I take.
That's all right. I mean, like, not to this degree, but.
You bounce sometimes when you're riding a horse.
I think this is really important over the 4th of July weekend for people to hear that. That's all.
I think everybody's heard it now.
Okay. 500.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman, was sworn in to the Supreme Court of the United States as a judge. First time. And for the first time.
What year?
People of color. What do you mean what year? Yesterday.
Okay.
And Breyer, Associate Justice Breyer, retired, and she was sworn in yesterday at noon. And for the first time in Supreme Court history, you've got more people of color and women than you do white males.
Good.
So it will make no change on the court. On decisions, because Breyer, who is has tendency to be more liberal, and I think Ms. Jackson or Justice Jackson will probably follow along that. But there, she has made rulings that surprise some people, which is the way kind of what it should be. It should be that you're not put into one camp like Roberts. Roberts kind of votes both ways.
If you're a woman. I would think that, you know, or a man, and you are appointed to the highest court in the land, your job is to really interpret the law and not bring in your personal feelings.
And when they ask them all these questions, and this is where all the, you know, and they say, well, how would you rule on this case, like Roe versus Wade? Well, there's no justice that's going to say that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had the best answer. She says, well, you know, when you boil it down, was I don't know what I'm going to rule until I see the case. You can't ask me to rule on a case before I see the case, and that should be the answer to all of them. And then you can't go back and say, well, you lied. No, because you said, well, there's precedents for the case, but it doesn't mean that new cases don't come up. So, newest Supreme Court justice, and the Supreme Court has had another ruling, which has a huge impact on people and places, is that they ruled the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, cannot make laws that affect people taking their water, doing all these things. They cut back on the power that agencies have to just willy-nilly stick things into our to make laws. That's up to Congress. And so they struck down the agency's ability to do that. That is absolutely huge. That people now say, well, you know, it's got to be a law passed by Congress, not by some bureaucrat that nobody even knows wasn't elected. So, okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Ashley Esses. She's got a writing
expose.
Not an expose. A writing workshop that's going to happen. Okay. She's an author, and they're getting ready to have a workshop here very soon. So this portion of the show is brought to you by
Maxwell Insurance. We have our insurance with Maxwell Insurance. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, veterans, and seniors, and business owners since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. We'll be right back.
When I was in school, we should sing it something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far, spacious skies.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM.
That was like a soundtrack from Sahara or something. Then I feel like you're in the dunes.
Today, July the 1st, Monday, 4th of July.
Yep,
Independence Day, Independence Weekend, which is why this weekend the studio and all the employees have their independence for the weekend, including Monday. That'll be a best of, except for Liam, because he's got baseball, and we're doing baseball. We've got baseball games Saturday night, Sunday, and, of course, 4th of July. Today, 7:37, right now, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and they do everything from replacing batteries to fixing watches, and has a super selection of jewelry that Linda just happens to find meets her palate.
That's right, and I have a vast palate.
Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Okay, we are here with Leigh Esses, and she's part of a team, she and Leigh Hall. And you are getting ready to have, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about you. Because, you know, Leigh used to work for us and worked for us for a couple of years as our producer and became a part of our family here. Nobody ever leaves here. It's like children from the home, you know, from your home. They never leave totally. They come through.
They go off to college. They really experience wonderful things in life. But they come back to visit.
They come back
and
to
visit. And that's so wonderful. I think that.
I like that.
Yeah, you always have a place here.
Yay.
Okay, so tell us who you are and what we're going to be
and what we're going to be talking about today.
My name is Leigh Esses. You may have heard my voice on a couple of the commercials here. Also,
probably still.
Also, the podcast plays every once in a while. We do have that
Friday nights,
which I need to update, by the way.
Yes, you do.
It's been more than 6 months now since I updated it. We now have 325 episodes approximately on our podcast, Writing Roots. And it's for new and aspiring authors, so people who want to finally sit down and write that book. They feel like they want to expand how they're doing the story. They want to learn more about storytelling and taking those first steps into becoming not just an author, but a fantastic author.
Well, I've listened to, you know, several of your podcasts, and I was amazed, and I thought, well, that just makes sense. You know, when you're writing and how you're writing and, you know, character development, dialogue within the book, where you can, you know, and I have like some favorite authors, and it maybe it's just because of what they're writing about, and in between there's dialogue,
mm-hmm.
while others, people like Robert Parker, who wrote the Spencer books and the several westerns too, but his dialogue was so good. I thought to myself, it was almost intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Almost intimidating. How can I ever write that well?
Well, the fact that you are recognizing that it's good dialogue is actually a step in the right direction, because it's very easy to overlook dialogue and attribute that type of craftsmanship to the characters or to the editor or someone else. Mm-hmm. But the recognition of that fantastic writing in any regard is a great first step into writing yourself, because then you can start to recognize what good writing looks like instead of just good story. A lot of people consume TV shows and movies and books, so they all interact with each other, and how storytelling happens outside of just a novel or outside of just the big screen. The podcast is actually for a lot of different kinds of storytellers. We focus mainly on novel writing because myself and my editor, we are the hosts. And I write novels, she edits novels, and she actually has a couple books out of her own. But we mostly focus on novel writing, but a lot of these concepts, like dialogue, like story structure, like world building, can travel and bleed through to a lot of different mediums, including the screen or stage.
Well, you started your writing retreat just for this. Now, there really is no age. You know, some people think, well, I should have started back when I was 20. But that's not true. There's been some very successful writers later in life.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I want to say it was Neil Gaiman who said that you will often spend the first half of your life collecting experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean if you're in your first half of your life you can't write. But make sure you're out there collecting experiences of whatever kind whenever possible. And then the second half of your life, you are able to communicate those to other people like yourself and those younger than you. So that's a very loose paraphrase, obviously. But it was an interesting way to look at storytelling. So if you're in that second half of your life collection, you're actually better equipped than someone in the first half of their life to tell stories, simply because you've experienced different places, you've met lots of different kinds of people, you can create more than what you understand in high school.
And that's true, because you've got a wider breadth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can relate back if you can remember your high school days.
Yeah.
You can kind of relate that back.
And you can also know high schoolers from when you're later on in life and see how it's different now and recognize what all the adults were talking about when you were in high school, and you get a closer to a 30,000-foot view of experiences.
I could write about a kid's experiences in high school, because I remember many of the experiences.
And you also taught.
And I also taught. But see, but my frame of reference,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, Liam's working for us now. Liam's 18. His frame of reference is a lot different than mine,
mm-hmm.
as it should be. But the fact is today's society and all that. So, I mean, the idea of me right now trying to write about a teenager's life is ridiculous. I need to write about my experiences or the experiences of a character that I can use my, you know, I can use my background, my history.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I think, you know, writers.
Mm-hmm. And that is sort of the cornerstone of the entire podcast. We say at the end of every episode, write selfishly. And that's mm-hmm. because each person's unique experience leads into each person's unique voice as an author. And there are a lot of reasons to write selfishly, but almost any question that people ask me comes down to answering that way. I wouldn't say you edit selfishly. A lot of the editing has to do with making sure you're communicating to your audience and you're making yourself marketable, that kind of thing. But when you are writing, write selfishly 100% of the time.
I know, that's the way it finishes up all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we're with Leigh Essis, and, who is a author, but also, trains people, helps people to write. She and her partner, Leigh Hall. And
so when we come back, let's talk about your virtual writing retreat and some of the breakdown sessions you're going to be having to tease our audience and those who are thinking about, I'm sitting on a book. Every person has a book in their life. Every single person.
I think everybody does.
Yep.
Everyone has a story to tell.
There you go. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Mike Hubert. He's got stories to tell. And since Mike has...
he does.
Mike had several lives, and so I'm not sure which life he would be writing about. But the one thing he does, and he does so well, is he can make your home beautiful by the use of granite, marble, slate, tile. He is a designer. He is an artist when it comes to working with this material. He can sit down with you and you give him your vision and then he can make that happen. He works by appointments only, but for a free consultation, give Mike a call at 241-STONE. Learn more at estategranite.com. And Mike's one of the good guys and it's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Welcome back to our morning podcast. I love it. Liam is playing some movie soundtracks, and we think about the soundtrack of your mind. It happens a lot when you're reading books and you get lost in building the characters and the visual. I'm such a visual person, and then many times we get let down if we see the book to the movie, and many times not so. But that's the beauty of being able to create these images in your brain when you when you're reading and you conjure up the visual aspect of it. So joining us this morning is our very own Ashley, who is here to talk about, she's got this podcast, but also is here doing writing roots. And you have a virtual writing retreat coming up.
Yes, that's actually why I wanted to come on the air and talk to you guys and talk to all your listeners, is we are doing a completely free virtual writing retreat. This is for authors all around the world, but especially the ones local. We want to make sure you guys are aware that this is happening. This is a staycation-style writing retreat, so you're going to be tuning in online. We have our Discord servers on our website, writingrootspodcast.com, and you can get all of the information you need for the retreat and the podcast on the website, but that Discord server is going to be our key cornerstone for the entire podcast. So you get involved on there, and that's where you're going to be tuning in for video. That's where we're going to be talking, and you can actually ask us questions as we're presenting so that we can make sure we're clear in our conversation with you and we can be specific to every listener and every viewer in this case, because we are doing video for these.
Okay, so when you start, and like on Tuesday,
yes,
as an example, getting to know your characters and designing your main character.
So there are three essential pillars of storytelling. There's plot, there's world building, and there's character. And so we've focused a day each on those, and then one on the experience of writing and note-taking and specifics in that regard. But our first day is character. So the first we're talking about getting to know the roles that your characters play. If they're a main character, secondary character, in a heist movie is a great example, Ocean's 11, you have this character can only do this. And this character, you don't expect Brad Pitt to fold into a washing machine because that's someone else's job. It's been a while since I watched it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the Ocean's 11 I saw had different people in it. Yeah, but you don't expect Sammy Davis Jr. to. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So the first thing we're talking about Tuesday is going to be those roles and how your characters are interacting and how you as an author use those characters. The second session we're doing on Tuesday, because we have two different sessions every day, and these are all in the afternoon. The second session on Tuesday will be about designing your main character, the questions you need to ask yourself. It's very common for an author to sit down with a piece of paper and mentally interview their main character before they start writing. Ask them about their past. Ask them what their favorite color is. Figure out how they wear their hair and why. These types of things that, when you're creating a character, are a lot more intimate. And not just your main character, but your villains as well, because they should be a reflection of the main character, and all of your secondary, tertiary characters. The farther out you go from the main point of the plot, the less you have to ask these questions, because you can leave it up to the reader's imagination. Anyway, that's, I was just putting notes together for that
good.
One this morning. So.
No, that's good, because, you know, let's talk one of our favorite books, Jack Reacher.
Yes.
There is no doubt that we know exactly what Jack Reacher looks like.
Yeah.
Do you think that the television series
was gorgeous.
Okay, yeah. So you thought it was pretty close to what your visual Jack Reacher.
That was Jack Reacher. He big and strong. He may not, you know, I don't get the feeling that he has the 12-pack this guy has on TV. But he got the right he got the right character in there. He's mm-hmm. big and he's tough, and he just, even he starts fighting, there is no holds barred. And unlike
no
karate, nothing, he just hammers people.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as opposed to, and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, I mean, if you had not read a Jack Reacher novel, he did fine in that. He did fine in it. But if you are truly a Jack Reacher fan mm-hmm. and read the novels, it took away.
And the author of the novels, Lee Childs, yeah. said that Tom Cruise did a great job of embodying the character.
Yes, yeah.
But he didn't visually match. And so a lot of the fandom kind of were very hesitant when Amazon released their Reacher.
Yeah. But I think they did. But okay.
So we loved
we're
it.
Fleshing out yeah, the characters. We got 5 minutes left.
Oh.
So let's catch up on this. How many days does the retreat go?
We are going Tuesday through Friday. So
okay.
that's July 12th through the 16th. So
okay.
write that down. You can, or look it up on a website after you finish driving, so that you can take that time off, because we have stuff going on in the mornings. We have morning blitzes where we all sit down and encourage each other, answer questions, and then sit down and write, because that's one of the things we want to do. The afternoons would be our lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about, day one is designing your characters. Day two is world building. Day three, Thursday, is going to be a lot of your note taking and the stuff you do behind the scenes. And then day four is that plot. So those are your three pillars of story. And then in the evening, we're very excited about this. We're going to be doing an interactive storytelling. So we're using the framework of Dungeons & Dragons, and we're all getting together again online, and you're creating your character, and we're all accomplishing a goal together as an interactive storytelling type environment. So, yes, we do lean toward the, we call it speculative fiction. In the podcast, because if you listen to the podcast, you know we're big nerds. But we're leaning into that this time.
I mean, I've always known you, but never as a big nerd. And you are a techno type person.
Yeah.
And I've read, you can't say you're blue and you're black with the, you know, those.
The Chroma series?
Yeah, the Chroma series. That wasn't really techy.
No.
That was just gritty.
Yeah.
Interaction.
I do write action adventure. That is my primary genre. So on Thursdays, I'm actually doing one of the sessions about how to choreograph a fight and how to write those notes down before you even tell the story of the fight in your novel.
I was honored because she asked me questions about pistols and you asked me questions
mm-hmm.
on things like, well, what about this and what about that? You know.
Well, you have every kind of life combat experience.
Yeah, you have a lot more gun work experience, especially than I do.
You know what? And I wrote a novel once. I just wrote it all on yellow paper, you know, the yellow line
mm-hmm.
paper, and wrote hundreds of pages.
Where is that?
You know, believe it or not, I think it's somewhere in the closet.
All right.
But I didn't number the pages that well.
Uh-oh.
And so when I'm going back trying to put it back together, I don't know, I may have just tossed it. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But I think everybody has a book in them,
absolutely.
A novel. Now, how do they get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to log on to our Discord. If you aren't there, you can find the link on our website, writingrootspodcast.com. We are also active on both Facebook and Instagram, so you just search Writing Roots, we'll pop right up. Send us a message and go, wait, where was that? And we can either link the post, we can link you directly to the Discord channel. The Discord channel is really going to be the key for attending this retreat, because everything, all of the blitzes and the gaming sessions, all of that comes down to the Discord channel.
In Writing Roots Podcast, that's a W. It's not a cutie name.
Yeah.
Writing Roots Podcast.com. So if you have any questions, you say, well, what's the Discord? They will explain everything to you.
Yes. We will definitely get
Lay and Lay.
Lee
and
you
Lee.
Have,
and Lay.
And you've got some wonderful reading list.
Yes. So
I really like that. Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. You want to go down this list?
Sure. These are books that we recommend people will read prior to attending, because these are examples and concepts we're going to be talking about. So, Mistborn, Brandon Sanderson, The Martian, Andy Weir, He Who Fights with Monsters by Sher de Lune, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab. The Line Between, Tosca Lee. The Raven Boys by Maggie Stiefvater, I believe. Scythe, Neil Schusterman. Only a Monster, Vanessa Lenn. Bad Luck and Trouble, Lee Child, because I'm going to use that. And Warbreaker, again, by Sanderson.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. This is going to happen between on June 12th to the 16th. It's online. For more information, go to writingrootspodcast.com. Thanks a lot. All right. We'll be back after the news, and Congressman LaMoffa should be calling in. We'll see.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Rich Thomason. It's expected to be a very busy holiday travel weekend, some 47 million of us taking to the skies or hitting the roads. And if you're among those who will be driving, you'll pay about $1.70 more for a gallon of gas than you did last year, AAA's national average, $4.84 a gallon this morning. Frustration is growing among parents and local officials in Uvalde, Texas. They're demanding more information about the investigation into the school massacre in Uvalde.
I've got nothing.
Mayor Don McLaughlin and the Uvalde Town Council met Thursday evening with angry townsfolk who have not been kept informed by state investigators or the district attorney about the May 24th shooting that left 19 students, two teachers, and the 18-year-old gunman dead inside Robb Elementary School.
All the cops that are around here know exactly what happened in there, but they have a gag order to keep their mouth shut. But what about us? What about us parents?
I agree. You should know before anybody.
And this also from KSAT, McLaughlin says,
I can't even tell you, look anybody in the eye in here and tell you who's in charge of this investigation, because I don't know.
I'm Tim McGuire.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the Supreme Court ruling allowing termination of the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy will encourage thousands more migrants. Dangerous and sometimes deadly trek north. One law enforcement officer killed, others shot and wounded last evening, happened in Floyd County, in southeastern Kentucky. A suspect is in custody. At least 19 people have died in Russian airstrikes on residential neighborhoods near the Ukrainian port city of Odessa. Two children are among the victims of those Russian airstrikes. Watching Wall Street, stocks in the red. Right now, the Dow is down about 174 points, the Nasdaq off 72 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fight for the unborn is raging in our country. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, clearing the way for many states to ban or severely limit abortion. The abortion debate rages on all across the country. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life. Stream it at salemnow.com. If you care about protecting the unborn, this is a movie you will not want to miss. It's been hailed as the best pro-life movie ever made. Stream it today at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. There is a battle taking place in America. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. Stream it today at salemnow.com and have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life. Stream it today at salemnow.com.
The British government is having to deal with another alcohol-related scandal, this one involving a Conservative MP.
Chris Pincher, whose role was to maintain discipline among Tory members of Parliament, submitted a letter of resignation to Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Thursday. Now Johnson has to decide what to do with him. Pincher said in the letter, I drank far too much. I've embarrassed myself and other people, which is the last thing I want to do. But he said he would remain as a Conservative lawmaker. Johnson didn't answer when journalists shouted questions to him outside his 10 Downing Street residence about whether he would indeed suspend Pincher from the party. Charles de Ledesma, London.
North Korea suggesting that its COVID outbreak began in people who had contact with balloons that were flown from South Korea. It's a highly questionable claim. It appears to be an attempt to hold its rival responsible amid growing tension over the North's nuclear program. Townhall.com. In sports, the Big Ten expanding westward.
The Big Ten is branching out to California. The conference has voted to add Southern Cal and UCLA as members beginning in 2024. The move coincides with the end of the Pac-12's current media rights contract with Fox and ESPN. It will increase the size of the Big Ten to 16 schools. The Trojans joined the old Pacific Coast Conference in 1922, 6 years before the Bruins. Pac-12 schools received less than $20 million each in fiscal year 2021, compared to more than $46 million for Big Ten universities. I'm Dave Ferry.
American basketball star Brittany Griner has appeared today in a Moscow-area court to stand trial. Her court date comes about 4.5 months after she was arrested on cannabis possession charges at an airport while traveling to play for a Russian team. To get on Wall Street, the Dow down about 200 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We are on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM right here on Free Fire Radio. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567 and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop onto the website and you can hop into our chat room too. Liam's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Linda's got the weather.
All right. I'm looking to see what the current temperature is. 72 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have 95 today. Clear skies tonight with overnight lows of 64. Saturday, 89. And then according to the National Weather Service, it looks like we may have a slight chance of showers, like 20% with overnight lows of 61. Sunday calls for mostly sunny with a high of 82 Sunday night. Chance of showers once again, just about a 30% chance. That, you know how that goes. Maybe there's little segments of areas with an overnight lows of 60. Now, Independence Day, sunny with a high of 86. Get this, beautiful night, mostly clear with 64. So this is the time to be outside. Tuesday, sunny with a high of 94. High of 84 on Tuesday.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with senior and veteran discounts. Do you know that it was this
time?
Give
them a call.
365-3793. Now, do you know it was this time, not too long ago, that it would have been almost close to 85 degrees this time of the morning? So we're really in a really beautiful time. All right, so on the phone with us, we have our beautiful Stifel Investments First Vice President, Susan Eastman. Good morning, and what's happening on Wall Street?
Well, I wish I had good news, but stocks are in the red this morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 149 points at 30,625. The S&P 500 is off 14 points at 3,771. The NASDAQ Composite losing 86 points at 10,942. The three most actively traded stocks, Advanced Micro Devices down $3.38, trading at 73.08. NEO down 37 cents at 21.37 per share. And Amazon up 87 cents, trading at 107.09. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.86%. And over to commodities, gold is down $5 an ounce at 1,803. Silver off 50 cents at 1977 per ounce. And crude oil is trading at $108 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President of Investments, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Susan, I bet you're glad 4th of July
oh
my markets
gosh.
Are closed.
I know. And the new holiday, Juneteenth, that was another freebie. I'll tell you, this is going to take some endurance. It's halfway through the year, and the S&P has had it worse first half since 1970. And there's been a lot of comparisons to the 70s, so...
I've seen that.
And you're in a girlfriend, and it's like a roller coaster. So you're just, you know, you've got the muscles for it.
I like roller coasters, actually.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you're looking to you know, perhaps look at the stock market and your investments and you're curious about it, I mean, we recommend calling Susan Eastman, who, again, is First Vice President. You can give her a call at 244-7199. That's Stifel. S-T-I-F-E-L. That's Susan Eastman.
Okay. Now, as you know, the Supreme Court of the United States has made several heavy rulings here in the last week. And one of them was saying is that the American citizens, have the right to have a firearm outside their house, and which means is states that were not issuing CCWs now have to go back and in reasonable events, issue people. In San Francisco, the number of requests have gone up. Since that ruling, you got 22 new requests as opposed to zero. But the sheriff there in Marin County in that area has not issued a CCW since he was elected in 2000. So they're going to have to do it. So in California, in its infantile group of legislators that are there, they've said, okay, mom and dad said that we have to allow citizens who law-abiding, tax-paying, trained citizens to be able to get a CCW. Well, they said, okay, you've done that, but this is what we're going to do. So they have a bill in the California legislature that states a person granted a concealed carry permit will be prohibited to carry it in any designated gun-free zone, court, building, or parking area controlled by the state legislature or executive, building or parking area of any type of jail, medical facility or nursing home, both public and private, public transportation is paid in whole or part with public funds, a bar or place that sells intoxicating liquor for consumption on its premises, which means any restaurant that has a bar. That means if you would carry into, C.R. Gibbs. Now, you can't anymore. This is the rule that they're making. Playground or public or private use center, park, athletic area, or athletic facility that is open to the public, and street or sidewalk immediately adjacent to the areas, any property under control of departments of parks or recreation or Department of Fish and Wildlife, any area under the control of a college or university, casinos, any stadium or arena or area of play for collegiate or professional sports, public libraries, museums, zoo, or amusement parks, and their parking lots. I mean, it goes on and on. And here's the other thing, is if a business... It says, also states prohibited to carry a firearm in any other private business that's open to the public or any place of worship or their parking lot unless these businesses or churches post signage issued by the state's Department of Justice that indicates concealed carry permit holders are allowed to bring their firearm onto the property. Congressman Moffa, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you just hear what I was saying?
Yeah, I didn't get the beginning of it, but I figured...
That's the new bill. That is a new bill that's made it out of committee that is going to make it impossible to carry a concealed firearm throughout most of California.
Sounds like off of your property will be pretty much prohibited.
Yes, yes. I mean, and now because we have a business that the public comes into... If it's okay with me to carry, for people to come in with a concealed carry, I have to get a sign from the Department of Justice and put that up.
To warn all the scaredy people that,
there's people in here that may have, It, I mean, this is obviously, it's like a tantrum from children. After the parents have said, okay, this is what the rule is, and they have made this law that makes it almost impossible to carry anywhere.
That's their trick. When they can't ban something, they'll price you out of it. They'll regulate you out of it. They'll make it the market unavailable to deliver it to you. That's the other side. You know, take ammunition, right? Ammunition, for a while there was almost unavailable, and now it's hyper-priced. My understanding, there's a government-run facility somewhere, maybe it's in Kansas, that some reason the government owns that, and they've always produced a lot of ammo and made excess or, production
sure.
available to the public. Well, I think Biden is trying to...
shut that down.
Looking to see how he can shut that down and have it be only what the military needs. And since, I don't know how they feel about the military, really, but maybe they'll cut them short even, too, so... Yeah, it's a true battle. The sides are so clearly drawn these days. of who's on the right of freedom and individual rights and just what, you know, I mean, I keep saying it all the time, is that these guys in Sacramento and the White House don't seem to really care or be aware of how normal people are struggling right now, what have you. It doesn't seem to matter to them. Fuel prices, their answer is more electric cars, less fuel. Electricity, their answer is like, well, tear out the climate dams, get rid of the nuclear power plant at San Luis Obispo, and on and on. Running short of food, like, well, that's all right. We're just going to keep shipping the water to the fish down the Sacramento River in the fall when nobody can use it for planting. And it goes on and on. They don't seem to care about what real people are struggling with. I put that on Biden. I put that on Newsom and the Democrat-run state legislature. And, you know, and of course, Democrats run the U.S. House and have a working majority in the Senate, so we're able to bottle up a lot of things back there that are bad, but moving a lot of good things forward is just flat tough because of the numbers, you know. I mean, they control it. Pelosi controls it, Schumer controls it, Biden controls it. So the results you're not getting right now are the results of these guys being on climate change and environment stuff is their sole focus, other than, you know, now we're not in June anymore, so it might not all be about having library reading sessions with drag queens. That's pretty big priority to them too. So it's really upside down.
The latest poll showed that something like 87% of the people believe we're going in the wrong direction, and yet I'm not seeing anything from the Biden administration to do anything about the cost of gas. And, you know, even the cost of gas, while that's, you know, really impacts on middle and lower middle class, the idea that food is going to be a scarce commodity in this country frightening. In this country, it could be, there's going to be shelves that don't have food on them, fresh vegetables.
They already don't. You know, I mean, we're not running super short. People can still count on going to the store and finding something, but a year and a half ago, they couldn't find toilet paper. They can't find other similar products here sometimes. We sort of got plenty of trees are burning every year, don't we? You know? So it's harder to employ people these days because the government keeps handing out coupons and, you know, checks and things like that. It looks like the state's going to hand out a gas card thing to everybody. All they would have to do, Linda, all they would have to do is the governor make a phone call to the franchise tax board or whoever's in charge of overseeing the rates that are charged at the gas pump. They could do it with a phone call and say, hey, we're going to, by executive order, suspend state taxes on fuel. And so the excise tax is like 51 cents, the sales tax, you know, a percentage of that. All tools, if you add up all the taxes the state puts on, you know, for their oil fees and this, that, the other, it's about $1.12. So $1.12 off the top of, you know, six would be significant over a month, right? Or a year or whatever.
They could do it for two months, 60 days.
That'd be a few bucks back in your pocket. But
well, the other thing, too, is that
Biden's running around saying, well, let's cut the 18 cents federal excise tax, okay? I mean, I guess he'd be grateful for anything he cut. But 18 cents off $6 doesn't really make the average middle-income family go, oh, wow, Biden saved the day. You know, it's like Biden needs to turn the fuel back on by turning on the pipelines and the oil fields and issuing the permits and the leases that really actually need to happen that aren't happening, getting the supply back in the chain for us in the U.S. and also for our European allies. Why in the world did we stand by during the Biden administration and say, hey, go ahead, you'll let Russian natural gas, you know, that Nord Stream pipeline, you know, we had supposedly some kind of say in that, I guess, through sanctions. Biden, oh, go ahead. That'll be great. We'll have our European allies be more dependent on the Russian bear. Like, well, that's already blown up on them. And now we're only a year and a half to Biden, you know, a couple months ago, they said, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. Well, no kidding. We're here at the peanut gallery saying, wow, who, nobody can see that coming. But the, you're going to have a problem relying on Russian energy.
So, well, that, like you said, that blew up in their face when they went into Ukraine. Hey, Congressman, we're going to have to take a quick two-minute break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about we're into the fire season and things that are being done for management of the fuel lines and all of this. Anything we see coming from the federal line on as far as BLM land and that when we come back from this break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. Cypress Square Barbershop has been in existence for probably close to 30 years. I've been going there for 15 years. It is man's last stronghold. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and they work by appointments only at 530-244-9478. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Abbott. It is 8:22 in the morning, 72 degrees out there here on the 1st of July, and we have on the phone Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining
us today. It sounds like you're driving, as usual.
Are you driving?
No, actually not. I'm fixing the drive.
Outside.
Here. I've got to go fetch the girls from camp. So.
Oh, okay.
To go to camp?
Fetch them from camp.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, fire season started. We're having our number already of fires around here, but nothing, you know, knock on wood, nothing huge yet. I know that you've been leading the fight to help people from previous fire disasters and trying to protect them from having... for some of these weird things that are happening out there with the government. But
weird things happening with the government. That's oxymoron. Is that it?
No, that didn't isolate it too much. But what are we looking at? I'm talking to somebody, a friend of mine, who is working in Tehama, and they're in the process of taking out literally thousands of trees through programs. To thin out the forest.
What kind of land are they doing that on, Carl?
Well, I did not ask that, but he went up to the township, so maybe it was owned by towns. up in the mineral area and that, and you know, places like that, that they're really thinning it out. And like they've done on 44, you know, from Shingletown out that way, they thinned it out.
They've done a really good job on 44 so far. Shingletown is one of the towns they kind of cringe for.
Yeah.
With, you know, the buildup they have around it there and such. So if you're say you're going to say it's a private forester land, you're probably going to hear, you know, they're making a good effort. If you're hearing that it's, anything but federal land is probably seeing a pretty decent effort made. Because private land, they have a little more freedom to do that. They still have to hop through timber harvest hoops and stuff like that. So as a state legislator, we worked on and got them to free those up and make a similar, I mean, it's an easier process. But, you know, the chatter I heard, we just had this hearing a month and a half ago in D.C. with BLM and Forest Service, the chief of the Forest Service. They come in, they start, oh, yeah, we got a 5-year plan for BLM. We got a 10-year plan for the Forest Service. And it's just, I just can't help but be cynical. Like, you know, you guys, you come in front of Congress and you give this happy talk. And, you know, we got a new folder and a new binder. And, you know, here's a picture of a plan drawn up. A nice, you know, you guys aren't moving the ball at the rate that you need to. So.
Do they understand that we burn everything down here yearly?
They know it. They know
Do they even know that?
Well, we say the words to them and they nod their head yes.
Well, if it's a 5-year plan, they're not going to really have to worry about it. It'll be burnt by then. That'll be cleared out for them.
You know, the Mendocino National Forest over a period of, about maybe 15 years, 98% of the acres of that have burned.
Wow.
Isn't that a freaking great record, huh? Isn't that great?
98% of the Mendocino Forest. Well,
yeah.
It's...
Do you imagine being charged with 98% of anything and having it all be destroyed and still have a job?
But they do have a job. They have a job.
Uh-huh.
And they're not doing their job. I mean, it must infuriate both Democrats and Republicans that the place is burning down. And yet, nothing seems to be happening.
Well, certainly if there are Republicans like me and Tom McClintock and that, you know, have these a lot of the Sierras here in California and just see year after year, you know, Yosemite even, right? It's just ineptness, okay? We don't have the funding. Oh, we don't have the personnel. Well, the personnel is probably partly true because the government's handing out checks and paying people to stay home. And, you know, I mean, the Forest Service offices haven't even been open during, like, sort of Christmas season. There's nobody in there because we're playing the COVID game to a great degree. So, the IRS offices, they're trying to get some things done with IRS on people that are victims of fire to clarify what is the taxability of an award, you know, coming from PG&E or what have you on if you've been burned out of your home and there's been the lawsuit, the state sued them and won this, won that. They had a settlement on the Dixie Fire of, $55 million. I could be wrong on that number. So anyway, so PG just told the lawyers write the check on the Dixie Fire. And so now we're trying to figure out what is the taxability of that. IRS for 5 months didn't get back to us on that because nobody's in. You only have somebody telling us there's nobody in the buildings at IRS. So then why don't we just shut you guys down and we'll operate on our own accord.
Well, what happened? You know, are they going to have to pay taxes on the money they got because their house burnt down and so they got money to rebuild the house?
Well, we finally got the letter the other day. We put out press on that.
That's what I saw.
No, it's not going to be a taxable event for the money that you got for
okay. You
know, living expenses, getting by. It won't be for those incidentals, and it won't be for things directly related towards the damage and rebuilding. You know, so it looks like, I mean, there's still some nuances in the letter we need to clarify and stuff, but it looks like, you know, me and several others on a bipartisan basis finally got, it took them 5 months to give us the answer, you know. We were trying to get ahead of it January because tax season was coming. Some people have to pay their taxes in March, most people April 15th. Say, can we get an answer so people don't either overpay and, you know, then have to wait for you guys to refund their money back to them, or underpay, then you guys come in with your big penalties and interest for not paying it. So the latest wrinkle here is that FEMA, and I'm not bad about FEMA, they've been really, really good on helping us with these fires, with the car fire and then with Camp Fire and Dixie Fire and all the other smaller ones in size and in fame, you know, to help us get things done. But the law, according to them, requires them to recoup money that, you know, if they were helping with those, you know, keep people in motels and keep people, you know, take care of with the basics immediately during and just after the fire, you know, all that. That when PG&E loses another lawsuit, for example, on Camp Fire, for example, PG&E had to pay billions on that. And so there was a moment there where FEMA thought, well, we need to be able to recover the money we put out because now PG&E is paying people too. They look at it as like double dipping, like, well, you can't really do that because there's a 2-year separation in time between that settlement and what FEMA did. People don't have this money. You know, they were living hand to mouth on that money there. Then the PG&E settlement finally comes out. This is what's going to help them rebuild from the damage from the fire for the people that are underinsured or not insured or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to get it clarified that FEMA was not going to recoup the Camp Fire money. But now we're going through the same question here with the Dixie Fire. That's right in front of us here lately, too. So we've got to, you know, and there's people trying to say, okay, we're trying to be fiscally responsible and not just hand out federal money, hand out, which is people money. And we totally get that. But it's not like you're looking at things through the lens of what we're dealing with here, because most times FEMA's doing aid for hurricanes. Okay, and things of that nature, tornadoes, or, you know, events of nature, you know, God-given events or what have you, you know, so it's acts of God, I'm trying to say. So we have nobody to sue there, right? So in this case here with the utilities, whether they're, you know, completely at fault or not, they sue them, they win, and so you have a gap between when FEMA put the money out and when the lawsuit award money comes in. So FEMA thought they need to recoup that money, and we think that isn't really right or fair because the people aren't getting ahead on that. They're still behind. And so we, summing up here, we were able to win that on Camp Fire, and now we have to get that done on Dixie Fire. By the way, we do have a bill sitting over in the Senate. It was unanimously passed in the House. It's my bill and my colleague from Missouri, who's going to be the next chair of the Transportation Committee that I'm on, that's clarifying that and making it certain in law that they don't have to ask this question every time FEMA on this taxability business. So if your listeners feel like, call your senators and have them move on that Graves-LaMalfa bill that's sitting over in the Senate.
Okay. Congressman, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break, and when we come back, we talked about the SCOTUS decisions on. I mean, everybody knows Roe versus Wade and the Second Amendment, but this ruling they made about EPA. Do you think
it's huge?
And I'd like to talk with you about that when we get back.
Okay.
This portion of the show. Brought
this
to you
portion.
By friends over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know, in fact, I'm going to go down there and see Jeff because I've noticed I have 2 chips in my windshield that have been there for a while, and I can't tell if they're getting any bigger. So you had yours fixed.
Absolutely. Just a few, like a month ago, I went in, and it was just a surface. No, it was a fracture. But he said maybe it's just a surface chip, which happens with wear and tear. We're just driving on the 44 in between, I don't know, went downtown and go to Dana Drive, and boom, you know, just that's how quick it can happen. And I took it into Jeff. Made an appointment, got me in, sat there in the waiting room for 45 minutes. He sealed it. He fixed it. I, you know, very nominal fee and went on my way.
Jeff Worst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. He knows what he's doing. For a free inspection and analysis, stop by 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment today. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMoffa, and we're going to talk about the ruling on the EPA.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Get the very best of summer with Black Bear Diner's refreshing summer menu, here for a limited time only. Start the day with sweet cream pancakes with fresh strawberries and lemon cream. Or grab a fresh berry chicken salad for lunch. Dig into blackberry burned barbecue rib for dinner and end with a fresh strawberry lemon cream pie. Pair any of these with a triple berry citrus spritzer or a summer sangria and you're set for summer flavor. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Owens is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Owens provides top-quality respiratory products and services throughout the North State and Northern Nevada. Products include oxygen therapy featuring the small and portable oxygen concentrators, CPAP machines, and a team focused specifically on providing ongoing CPAP supplies to help you get the best sleep possible. Owens has been in business since 1979 and has been Joint Commission accredited since 2003, allowing them to care for patients in our community when they need them the most. Contact Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. That's 1-800-696-9367.
Axiom Repertory Theater is proud to present Woody Guthrie's American Song.
This land is your land, and this land is my land.
Experience the words and music of Woody Guthrie in this ensemble musical presentation for a limited engagement, June 10th through July 4th.
I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps.
Tickets available at axramptheater.com.
This land was made for you and me.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. And it is the 1st of July. Of course, Monday is the 4th of July, Independence Day. It's 8:37 in the morning, 74 degrees out there. And we have Haven Humane on the other line with the dogs barking. No, we have Congressman Doug LaMoffa with us. Thanks so much for joining us, Congressman, on this Independence Day weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And speaking of independence, Supreme Court, you know, of all the rulings they've done in this last week, and they have been
it's been a good week, huh?
Wow, what a week. But they ruled that the EPA, if I understand this right, doesn't have the right to make rules that should come under our legislators. Is that correct?
You know, they've done a lot of this lately. Ever since we've had the Trump appointees come in, Neil Gorsuch, you know, the first of his appointees when he was elected, really looks at things from and Alito too, and Thomas, right? So I don't know where Roberts comes from. Sometimes he doesn't seem to mind empowering government, but it's been interesting to watch Roberts become number 6 out of 9 on these things on some of these. Like, when he can be the decider, he gets a little squirrely, but then lately he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of a 5-4, so he ends up being 6-3. So I think at his core, he's looking at things mostly conservatively, but he's also really, really worried about, in his way, the reputation of the court or the politics of the court. And that's, man, I don't care about that at all. I care about what the Constitution is about and how you interpret a law measured directly up against constitutional thought. So I even got to ask Justice Scalia about that one time. Who cares, sir, about precedent and other juries and other other court decisions. I want to know what this means against the Constitution right here. And he gave me a big thumbs up. So anyway,
well, the EPA.
So on this EPA decision, yes, yeah. Congress passes something like the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act or other measures, that, you know, with good intent and but certainly with guardrails, so to speak, on those. And you have, you know, Nixon signed it back in the day, and the intent was like, all right, we're going to save the bald eagle and we're going to do other things like that with environment and species and things like that. Well, when you give enough time and enough latitude to these guys, they'll say like, well, you know, the valley elderberry longhorn beetle is endangered. So every elderberry bush between Oregon and San Diego has to be preserved because the elderberry beetle might come along. Okay. You don't actually find the beetle there. There's no history of it. But that all is now protected habitat. And this is how these guys grow and grow and grow the size and scope and strength of government is by interpretations on that. Okay, so you're looking at it on Klamath River with their biological opinion. So you got these people just making opinions on how we think the water should all go for fish. You know, we need more water out the Delta because of biological opinion. Well, you know, you can say, well, that's a process, but we know the deal. It's been layer upon layer of bureaucrats getting appointed to these positions. They're in there for a career. And so, you know, liberals appoint liberal ones to those, and they're just embedded. You know, Republicans don't really seem to like working for these organizations. They don't seem to be there very long. But the embedded ones are the ones, the liberals, the ologists, all those, whether it's in forestry, whether it's in fish and wildlife, whether it's in nymphs, whether it's in, you know, even energy, you know, Army Corps of Engineers. They're all worried about bending beyond what's needed on environment all the time. And so we end up losing on the water. We can't build anything. We can't do much. And so the court decision is reeling back the EPA to say, like, if Congress didn't specifically put this into legislation, you know, or at least the spirit of that in the legislation, you can't do it. You know, we've had Army Corps in partnership with the EPA running around on Clean Water Act, not allowing people to plow their land or change their crops. So, you know, say you want to take it out of a wheat crop and put it into an orchard, say, we got to get a permit. Like, well, it doesn't say that. No Congress back in 1973 was going to pass a regulation saying, yeah, farmers need to get a permit from you jackasses and take 3 years and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on consulting fees so we could get a permit to put a almond orchard in Tehama County? Forget that. That is, you know, Congress, I would hope we would all get thrown out for making laws like that.
Well, you know, these days people
like that stuff, it seems, so because nobody gets thrown out over environmental stuff.
Well, the other part of this is, what it said is, you can't just expand things because you want to. But the other part on this, I think, is
you guys hear that?
Very.
You guys hear that?
Killer. The killer dog.
I didn't know you had 5-pound dogs.
Yes, killer dog.
No, yeah. Sorry about that.
Anyway, but this one also has that. This is every agency then. That can, anywhere from education to transportation and food. If it's not specifically in the law, you cannot just reach out there and change things because you want to. That's a huge. This is a huge ruling. On taking away the anonymity, the faceless thugs that come out there and do things.
Exactly. One of my staff says, we run into problems where somebody, you know, the Forest Service wants to regulate what kind of mailboxes you have. This is a real one up in Shasta County. And says, you can't have that kind. We want you guys to put the urban one out at the front of the road if everybody's in one with us, you know, all that. Like, no, that actually looks more urban than what mailboxes you worry about. And it turns out, a couple of bureaucrats, well, we just don't like those. And so my staff person says, that's a fake rule. That's a fake law. So these guys get away with fake laws because they just feel like doing it and no one's going to stop them until, you know, I mean, does anybody think, well, shoot, I want to keep my mailbox. I guess I'm going to have to call my congressman, right? Nobody, I mean, not many people think call your congressman over something that dumb, right?
I'm, you know, dumb in terms of
making up a rule like
bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Important to them. Important, of course, it's important to them, but just dumb in terms of like, why are these guys worried about that? They have time. They're not cutting any trees out there. They're worried about somebody's mailbox. That's what's so frustrating about all this stuff, and that's why we need a regime change. And in Congress this year, we can do that, and we can do it in the White House in 2 years. And try and push us back in the right direction.
Well, that,
now,
well, that,
say, well,
that's
God,
well,
you guys had, you guys had the majority. You guys had the majority. You had the White House. You didn't do anything. We hear that.
Well,
well, we do overcome, try to overcome the same bureaucracy you're talking about that the court ruled for us. So now we, now we have the EPA kind of on their heels a little bit, and you're hearing all the bleating over, oh, my gosh, we're going to go back to, you know, 1850 with the regulations, and, you know, you got dummies like Dan Rather saying, you know, goodbye planet, and all these tweets coming out. These people are ridiculous in their argument, and I don't know why they have credibility.
Okay, Congressman.
So that was a giant win.
It was, and it's going to have a, it's going to have a huge impact, and I hope in the future. Okay, here's my next.
For forestry, for all the things.
Everything.
We, you know, for mining, for getting the things that we can produce as a country. Especially with these guys with their la-di-da dreams about electric everything, electric cars, electric stoves, and all that. Someone has to mine something somewhere. And it's the EPA that's responsible for shutting down it happening in this country. So we're going to buy it all from China. China's buying up the whole world right now. And strategically getting these important minerals that are in, like Afghanistan, are that debacle in Afghanistan. You know, if people were paying actual attention to how all these pieces fit together. They throw Biden out like yesterday, you know?
The, you ready to shift to water?
Oh, no.
I have been,
I've been
doing shows on water, and I have some questions. You know, as you know, I'm sure you know, the acid canal for the first time in 100 years is empty. That means there's no groundwater being recharged. That means farmers and ranchers are, do not have water. And from what I understand, it was because the water allotment wasn't even going to be enough to charge the ditch.
There's a lot of information being put out for, you know, people are angry, and I get that part. And so you, when that happens, you tend to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater you don't have, I guess, right? So, so the situation, as I understand it there, and I got a pretty good handle on it, is that, they were allocated, normally they have flexibility, but this year Bureau of Reclamation only gave ACID the ability to take small deliveries each month. They're allowed 18% as is of what of their normal, I think it's 250,000 acre feet for the year. And so they're only getting 18% of that. Now, my understanding is that they were also allowed to front load September, October, maybe November water into the early months where it makes the most difference when you're planning to crop, right?
Uh-huh.
So they didn't allow that flexibility. They've always had that flexibility. They took that away. So I've been checking on this a little bit, and for example, they're only allowed, I could be off my numbers, so don't take them as gospel, but they're only allowing them, I think, in April, 8,000 acres for 30 days. So we did some quick seat of the pants numbers on a new up 25 CFS at a time, 25 cubic feet per second.
Uh-huh.
That's not enough water to get the ditch wet much farther past Cypress Avenue or what have you.
Okay.
Okay. And so they get to bump the number up from 8,000 to 10,000 in May, and I think it's a little higher number in June, but by then, you've either planted and established a crop or not. Now, some of the hay crops, they can keep going in touch, but, you know, so the situation is that they didn't have the water to even operate and get the ditch wet. They do have, as is the history of the canal, very porous ditches up there. And so I think one of the decisions looked at by them was, if we sell this 18%, we can actually get a good chunk of money and upgrade the infrastructure of our district to be more effective longer term, because they haven't had $10 to throw around. We actually tried to help get grant money for doing that as part of the
infrastructure deal, but they turned us down. We got some other things through, but that one, for some reason, wouldn't pass muster. But it's important that they be able to continue to try and improve their district and have the water get farther down the ditch to the actual users that own it and pay for it. So this year the decision was, we're going to mark that 18%. Some of it's going right through the city of Reading and helping buttress Reading water supply. Some of it's going to other ag districts farther down the line and helping them keep some of their orchard crops alive, those trees would be dead. So, you know, the water is going to good, but what people are having a real difficulty with, and I get it, is that it's not helping them. It's not helping them with their water. And so they're frustrated. They're angry. Well, lay that right at the feet of Bureau of Reclamation not saying no to U.S. Fish and Wildlife and NIMS for basically forcing them to leave the water in the lake until the fall. They can't front load their water, as I said, into the spring like they've always done. They have to leave the water in the lake, so the lake is deeper, therefore it's colder. Therefore, the water they take off the bottom of the lake in September, October will be 1 degree colder for their fish run coming up for their fall run. That's what it's all based on. It's all geared towards that. These guys don't give a rat about anything that affects people. It's all about environment, climate change, and political correctness.
One of the things that the state of California does horribly is, and there's a long list, I had the Department of Water Resources on.
I went outside, now I got a crop duster making noise for me.
Okay, well, you know, crop dusting, you know, it's a short life. We do not reclaim water in California. We literally have billions of gallons of water that just pours into the ocean, either through pipes or through estuaries or whatever, but. We don't have a reclaiming program here in California that could take care of much of this.
Carl, I just told you, Bureau of Reclamation is the name of the federal outfit that does that. Right?
Yeah, right.
The word reclaim is in the title, but they're just strictly kowtowing towards the environmental side. Okay, they throw their hands up, say we got to meet these goals. I talked to them. I talked to some high-level people and say, oh, yes, we've got to meet the temperature goals. We've got to meet the flow goals for fish. That's the only thing they talk about. I say, hey, you know, we got this food thing going on. We're already seeing empty shelves. We're seeing Ukraine not going to be able to put much out. Other countries are cutting off exports of grain. You know, India's not going to export grain. Hungary's not going to export grain. You see more and more of that. And Ukraine, they got 27 million tons of wheat sitting in port warehouses. The Russians are, you know, blocking them from moving out. So the whole world is going to see as bad as it is, you might think right now, food prices and stuff not being available as easily on American shelves. 2023 is going to be worse, man. I keep telling everybody, we were fighting to get extra water for spring planting for some of our people in the north. Like, do you guys get this? Oh, well, we got to meet those fish temperature goals, the fish flow goals. That's all they say. So, you know, I mean, we need regime change in the federal government to get people that will fight for this. Trump did fight for it. Trump did change some of these biological opinion issues that, you know, they went through a process. It wasn't just Trump waving a wand. But they did that. They took it on and said, we need to get more water for farms, you know. And farms have been losing that for years. They've been sending water down the Delta for 30 years trying to save the smelt. The numbers have only gotten lower and lower. The more water they send, it seems the less smelt you get. It's like an inverse relationship, as bizarre that is. So, you know, they don't care about what your struggles are as middle income, lower income, or even, you know, higher income Americans on what the struggles are. So, you know, they don't seem to care. When food runs shorter next year.
Well, you know, everything I see shows a red wave coming in. I mean, everything I read, even from Democrats, about a red wave coming in in this 2022 election.
That's the prognostication on it. We could still screw it up, or they could take this Roe v. Wade deal and
still screw it up. Yeah, never let it be said the Republicans cannot snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You know.
Yeah, I know that's kind of a hard deal, but there's truth to that. But you know, the problem with us Republicans is we're pretty independent minded from each other. We're not going to take orders from our leader the way the Democrats do with Pelosi or their respective leaders, right? We don't do that. And so many are off kind of doing their own thing instead of sometimes hanging together. We should go in a room and argue about it and not force people. I mean, each person's vote is their own autonomous vote. And that's, of course, important and kind of sacred even. So, but we got to be smart as a team, right? You watch the NFL offense, you know, and Peyton Manning used to, you know, run the Colts the way he did there. He'd do those checkoffs, the line, taping the plays at the line, and boom, it was like incredible watching those guys move the ball down the field and stuff. You know, because they're a team. You got all these different size and shape guys and speeds and all that stuff doing different things. They were a cohesive team doing great things. And so we have all our different, you know, we hear all this all the time, our diversity is our strength. No, our unity is our strength. And you know that as well as anybody, Carl, on the battlefield. In the esprit de corps military, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to build a team out of different groups of people, and but they all have to buy in, and this is what the problem is. I think is that they've all got to buy
diversity,
in.
Like in World War II.
Yeah, diversity.
Navajo code talkers. That piece of diversity, but they were all working for a common cause.
They were all working for a common cause, and we cannot.
So it is a diversity, it's unity.
We cannot, it seems like, in this country over the last 10 or 15 years, find something that we can all agree on and just say, if this is where we need to be at this point, what's it going to take for all of us to get there? I don't understand what that problem is.
Because we have dividers out there putting this at each other. You know, and then people, it isn't just like we don't know which bathroom to use or we don't know what a man or a woman is. It's people out there driving this, okay? And you're going to find out that we have an irresponsible media. And what are the powers that be that are behind that, that are pushing this into the media and having the people that in their comas buy all this stuff, you know? There's, you know, males running on women's sports teams in college or wherever. That should be like a 30-second decision, like, what are you talking about? Get out of here, you know? No, sorry. Not happening. That's just ridiculous. And people run around and say, oh, men can get pregnant. Men, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here, but no, men can't do that stuff. Those are women, all right? And we can't even say a mother. We have to say a child bearer or the child birther or whatever. Like, what kind of stupid, you know, terminology is that the media is, the Associated Press has their style book, they call it. And they take words out like illegal immigration instead of say we're calling them migrants now, okay? Migrants. And so, and let me touch on that for a second too. Now, saw a decision by a court on the stay in Mexico policy that Trump had.
Yes, I did see that.
It's a great policy. That was something Trump was able to do with his executive order at the time. So if you understand how executive orders are supposed to work for whoever the president is, that president has the ability to make the executive orders that are in place while that president is in office and he has the or she has them in place. So the court actually ruled correctly that you can't force the Trump stay in Mexico executive action to stay in place if Biden doesn't want it, right? So people are screaming at Kavanaugh right now, like, well, no, he's actually looking at things, in my view, and just Doug's view here, he ruled properly that his executive order belongs to the president at the time of how they want to do it. As long as it's not unconstitutional or something, they get to do that.
Yep.
So I'm still trying to understand how Obama's DACA policy he put in place of allowing, you know, the Deferred Action for Children Act, call it, that was an executive order. So when Trump come in and change that, oh, no, we got to leave that in place. Well, what kind of crappy court decision is that, you know? This court is actually ruling correctly constitutionally. If they take on the DACA one, we might see a similar one, because why should an Obama-era executive order still be hanging on when
Trump put it out, you know, Biden's going to put it back in or make sure it stays in place or what have you. But it could be taken on, and I think with this court. So we shouldn't yell at Kavanaugh over that one, because I think, just in my, you know, non-lawyer, regular guy opinion here, that was correct with how you should treat presidential executive actions. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. It's, you know, if the next executive wants to get rid of it or just say, nope, that's no longer, they should be able to do that. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us at the beginning of Independence Day weekend.
What are you doing? Enjoy your family.
Yeah, what are you doing on the 4th?
I don't know. There's about 10 things to pick from to go to, so I'm not sure yet. So I'll be out and about. So, but, you know, our independence is something that's very, obviously, precious.
Fragile.
And very tenuous, too.
Fragile.
And so I've been ranting most of this call here because I'm really, really concerned. I'm not going to say fearful.